Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There's only one right way to live life, and that's God's way. He's the author, the creator, and the designer. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study how to overcome 10 of life's greatest challenges. That's next on Daily in the Word. Stay with us. God designed and created life. He knew what our struggles would be, and He knew how desperately we would need Him as our Savior. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study how to overcome life's greatest challenges. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to study the Ten Commandments. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for every step of this series. If you have missed a portion of this series or would like to hear recent broadcasts, don't forget you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You can also subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you on your phone or iPod or personal computer. Once again, you can find all of this and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. Today's message is entitled Keeping Life Sacred, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Here's Paul Chappell.
Alexander Sanders is the chief judge of the South Carolina Court of Appeals. Mr. Sanders recently was speaking at the University of South Carolina where he gave the commencement address. And as he stood before the guests and graduates, Mr. Alexander told the story of his daughter, Zoe. He told how he and his wife had purchased for Zoe a little turtle and how excited she was to have that turtle. She played with him and watched the turtle go back and forth. His legs would come out, his tail would go out, his head would turn. He said one day he came home from court and Zoe was standing there, a little three-year-old girl, and she was crying louder than he had ever heard her cry before. Tears were coming down. She was so upset and so bothered by a tragedy that had come into their home that day. After some investigation, Mr. Sanders discovered that the tragedy was that the turtle had died. She wanted her turtle to come back to life. Well, he didn't know exactly what to do. Mr. Sanders at first thought maybe he could go to the pet store and get another turtle, but that did not make her happy. She wanted her turtle alive. And she continued to scream and cry, and tears continued to flow. Well, after a little while, Mr. Sanders said, I'll tell you what, we'll have a funeral for the turtle. And we'll have an opportunity to remember and to respect and to have a great festival of honor for your turtle. And that did not help her either. She continued crying and squalling, and she was so upset. He began to think about how he could calm her down. He said, but Zoe, listen, this will not just be any funeral. He said, a funeral is like a birthday party. We'll have balloons, and we'll have cake, and we'll have ice cream, and we'll sing songs. And he began to describe the festivities that he had in mind. Well, as he began to talk about cake and ice cream and balloons, all of a sudden the tears began to stop and a little smile came over her face, and he was starting to turn the corner, and she was looking forward to having this time of party, and the tears had dried up. Then suddenly something unforeseen took place. They looked down at their feet and lo and behold, the turtle began to move. The little legs came out, the head popped out, the eyes looked up and turned back and forth. Mr. Sanders did not know what to say, But this little 3-year-old girl apprised the situation very quickly, very effectively, and with all the innocence of a 3-year-old, she looked up at her dad and said, "Daddy, let's kill it." Now, what does God mean when He says, "Thou shalt not kill"? How many of you would agree we use that word sometimes too loosely in our society today? This word kill. Thou shalt not kill. This morning I want you to take these few minutes with me and learn from God's word exactly what He means when He says thou shalt not kill. And if you have your outline this morning, I want you to notice first of all that this is an announcement to accept. These are the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. How many of you moms and dads want your children to listen to what you're saying simply because you're the dad or you're the mom? Honor thy father and mother. We want our children to accept what we are telling them because of the position we have in their life. Well, I believe that's what God wants us to have in our heart as we hear His 10 commandments. These are not negotiables. He says, "I have an announcement I want you to accept." And the announcement here is, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, why does God say this? Why this prohibition on murder? I want to give you a few reasons this morning so that we can understand it from the Bible. First of all, we all need to understand that we are created in God's image. We are created in His image. And the reason that God places such a sanctity on human life, and the reason that He places such a protection on human life, is because we are created in His image. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says it this way, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. God says, "In my image I have created you." If you were to come with me after church today and come up to the place where I study, as you walk into my study and sit down at the chair where I read and study the Bible and pray, you'll notice just to the right a portrait of my wife, Terry. It is a picture that I like very much. It captures the essence of her kind and beautiful spirit. It is a picture that reminds her of her love and affection for me. I treasure that photograph for those reasons. Now, if someone were to take that photograph someday and put it into storage, and maybe 100 years from now, someone's rummaging through the church storage, and they were to find that picture of Terry, more than likely they would say, "We don't know who this is," and they would trash that picture. They would toss it away. The reason that I cannot trash the picture is because it bears the image of someone that I love. And the reason God wants us to put great value on life is because you bear His image, and we must value those around us who are made in the image of Almighty God. Today we learn that human life is extremely valuable because we are made in the image of God. We are created in His image. Secondly, we learn from the Bible that being in the image of God makes human life distinct. Makes human life distinct. Now, we know that there are those who tremendously are involved in a process of education with tremendous effort, trying to claim that we are nothing more than a part of the evolutionary process. It is amazing how the theory of evolution is taught as cold fact in the day in which we live. Men and women in our educational system who would shudder at the thought of even mentioning creationism as a part of their curriculum have no problem teaching homosexuality and lesbianism to third graders, but they shudder at the thought of mentioning creationism. Why? Because in their rejection of God, they have accepted something called evolution. Evolution says that we're all a part of this process whereby we are related to the animal kingdom. We've all heard the story. Way back billions and billions of years ago, there was a big bang out in outer space. And from that big bang, there were these one-celled amoebas that just began floating from nowhere and floating for billions and billions of years until one of them fell in the ocean. And after billions and billions and billions of years, that amoeba grew one leg and then another leg and then arms and a tail. After billions and billions of more years, that little creature turned not only into a swimming monkey, but it jumped out onto the sand. And that little creature, after billions and billions and billions of years, not only had to become a little monkey, but jumped up into the forest and into a tree. And it was swinging one day on his tail from tree to tree to tree until his tail broke and he fell down on his head and became a professor at USC. You've heard that story. All of us have been told that it just kind of happened by accident, just a big bang and whoosh, here we are. But you know, that's not the story we read in the Bible. The Bible tells us that man has dominion over all creation. The Bible tells us that human life is distinctive and that it is above animal life and that God created us with a purpose. I can give you an illustration from Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible tells us there, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things." Notice in Matthew 6:26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" God says, "I have created you above the animal kingdom." God says there are times when you may need to take the meat from an animal, whether a cow or whatever, for the purpose of your sustenance, for the purpose of your health. There is the plant life. There is the animal life. And God says, "I have created you above the animal life." Very clearly, we see that man has dominion over all creation. We also see in the Bible that man cannot shed the blood of another man. Thou shalt not kill. God says you can take the blood of an animal for the purpose of sustenance, but you are not to take the life of another man. God makes it very clear then that there's a difference between our relationship to the animal world and our relationship to our fellow man. Now, those people, again, who have no relationship with God through Christ, those people who have rejected the veracity of the Scriptures, many times have a concept that we are just further developed animals. This is why Christians take such a stand against euthanasia. Many of you have heard, for example, people say, "Well, I love my dog, and my dog is really suffering, and I don't want to do it, but I'm going to have to put my dog down." How many of you have heard somebody say something like that? "I'm going to have to put my dog down." Then people try to apply that logic to their grandmother. A society that cannot tell the difference between their dog and their grandmother is a sick society. You see, man cannot determine who should live and who should die. Man cannot shed the blood of another man. We must never take the place of God in these matters. Now, man has dominion over creation. Man cannot shed the blood of another man. Thou shalt not murder. Thirdly, a man's life may only be taken when he has murdered another man. Someone says, "Well, what about capital punishment? What does the Bible say?" Genesis 9:6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." The same God who said, "Thou shalt not kill," said, "If someone kills, then his life should be taken." Now, this is not a matter of politics. And many liberals who cry separation of church and state don't even know what that means. This is not a separation of church and state. This is a body of Christians reading the Bible today. And the Bible says that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by him, by man shall his blood be shed. God said, "Thou shalt not kill," but he also said the murderer should be punished. And the punishment must fit the crime. We could give many illustrations. I think of Timothy McVeigh. One of the worst acts of terrorism in the history of the United States of America. A man who drove a bomb-laden truck and parked it there in Oklahoma City and took the lives of hundreds of innocent people. A man who the night before his execution simply quoted his favorite lyrics from his favorite rock band and showed no remorse and no repentance and simply said they were all deserving of it. A man like this deserves punishment for the crime that he has committed according to the Word of God. I know people ask questions about capital punishment. Sometimes they ask questions about war. But I want you to recognize this morning that in the Bible, the same God who tells us not to kill gave us the law for capital punishment. There are some situations as well when it comes to war where a life taken may save many other lives. Again, the Bible gives us many illustrations. I believe that when it came to David and Goliath, I believe that God guided David's stone into the head of Goliath. I believe God empowered David that particular day. Why? Because by taking the life of Goliath, many of the lives of Israel were saved. And so we see in the Bible that there are wars of self-defense that are considered to be just wars. Now, with the exception of a just war and with the exception of capital punishment, God says, thou shalt not kill. And by the way, when I mention the term just wars, it reminds me of why Romans 13 commands us to pray for those in authority over us. To pray for those who gather knowledge and who must make decisions concerning war. I will tell you this. Authority for war does not rest in individuals. It rests in the nations. And from time to time in the Bible, we see wars of self-defense in the history of the children of Israel. And we see those as being wars that God allowed. Other than those types of wars, and other than taking the life of a cold-blooded murderer for the crime he has committed, God says, thou shalt not kill. This is an announcement that we must accept in our hearts today. But let's notice, secondly, an application to understand. When God says, thou shalt not kill, let's just take a moment today and consider the value of human life and what God intends for us in this matter. First of all, I want you to think about murder. God is prohibiting murder in this commandment. Romans 12 and verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Many times murder are born from wrath and anger. In today's society, when you mix in drugs and alcohol, it only enhances the wrath and the anger, and murders take place. But for a Christian, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let me settle the matter. Don't take it into your own hands. I think of the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as the high priest came and as Judas Iscariot, the so-called friend of Jesus, kissed him on his cheek and betrayed him. And when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, and when they were gathering together to take Jesus away, one of the soldiers by the name of Malchus took the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that Peter took a sword. I believe it was a two-edged sword. And Peter took that sword and swung it at Malchus and took his ear off of his side of his head. John 18 says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. In other words, Jesus, as he reached down and picked up Malchus' ear and placed it back on the side of Malchus' head, rebuked Peter for his attempted murder on Malchus. I don't believe Malchus was just trying for his ear. I think he was going for the whole head, don't you? And Jesus said, Peter, that's not how we're going to settle this. God has ordained in his word, thou shalt not kill. This is a prohibition of murder. But notice, secondly, it is a prohibition on abortion. On abortion. Now, I believe this morning that an unborn child is created in the image of God. I do not believe this to be a matter of Democrat or Republican, though I have personally never voted for a candidate who knowingly promoted abortion. I do not believe it to be a political issue. I believe it to be a biblical issue. I want you to notice why I stand against abortion and why I believe the Word of God teaches against abortion. First of all, it is because we are created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them. I believe little babies in their mother's womb are creations of God in the image of God. And I believe in the sanctity of their preborn life. I believe it is a tragedy in America that we are savagely and brutally taking the lives of millions of preborn innocent children. Every year in America, 1,600,000 babies are snatched out of their mother's womb. womb. Every day in America, 4,383 babies are snatched out of their mother's womb. Every single hour in America, 183 babies are taken from their mother's womb. And every minute, 3 innocent lives are taken from their mother's womb. But the Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Now listen this morning. God says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The evolutionist says we're just a part of the animal kingdom. And if we keep telling our children that they are animals, they will keep acting like animals. Don't tell me this logic, don't tell me this theory of evolution is not affecting the behavioral patterns of our society today. You say it seems like children down around the high school and down at the mall are just acting like animals. What should they act like when we tell them they are animal-like? God says they are not an animal, but God says that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 15, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." You see, the psalmist said, "Lord, you knew me. You knew the members of my body. You knew how many toes I had and how many fingers I had. Lord, you saw me in my mother's womb." And I'm simply saying we are created in the image of God, and we are known even before we are born by God. Jeremiah 1:5, the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Oh, listen to me this morning. God says that little child in its mother's womb is known of him, identified by him, and there is a purpose from him for their life. I remember when we found out that my wife was expecting our third child, Christine. We were so excited. By the way, moms and dads, that's how we ought to be. Sometimes there's, "Oh boy, here comes number 3. Oh boy." Well, thank God for number 3, or whatever the number. Many dear families in our church are yet unable to have children in God's plan for some reason, and it hurts their heart tremendously to hear people say how they didn't want to have another child. My wife called Kaiser Hospital. We've all of our children have been born there, going back now all of our years of marriage, and it's a very liberal company, Kaiser is. Sorry, those of you that are here who work for it. My wife called the nurse and said, I believe I'm expecting our third baby. And the nurse said to my wife on the phone, "Ma'am, would you like to continue or terminate your pregnancy?" My friend, that is a question that need not be asked. That is an offensive question to ask to a Christian who believes that that life is a gift from God. The matters of termination, the matters of beginning and ending of life do not belong to Kaiser Hospital. They do not belong to a doctor. They belong to God Almighty. And I want you to understand from the Word of God this morning that we are created in His image and that we are known before His birth. Listen, it is not about a woman's right over her body. There is a totally different person in her womb with a totally different DNA. You have the mother with her DNA, her personality, her soul, and you have the baby with its own DNA, with its own soul. It's not about a woman's right over her body. Listen, if a woman wants to have a right over her body, she ought to think about that before she starts whoring around, before she snuggles up to the bar next to some pervert, before she finds herself in that situation. And I'm not against a woman who finds herself there. We want to help you through that trial, but we're not going to help you by taking you to the scalpel at the abortion clinic. You want power over your body? Think about it before you involve yourself in the act of sex. You see, the Bible is very clear. The Bible teaches sparing the life of the innocent and taking the life of the guilty murderer. That's what the Bible teaches.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying a series entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. It's a verse-by-verse study of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Friend, the most overarching truth of this study is that apart from God, we cannot overcome these struggles. These laws are impossible for us to keep in and of ourselves. which is why we so desperately need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748, or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.